All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Briefly, we'll make good use of your time. Just want to thank you for giving Capital Region Council of Governments a few moments of your very precious time today. I know things are busy as session is in full swing and committee meetings are going on like crazy right now. Capital Region Council of Governments is the largest of the state's 9 Council of Governments. We've got 38 municipalities that make us up. We serve almost 1 million members, so we really appreciate your time today. We have a 40-member policy board, and one of our functions with our legislative committee members is to come up with our legislative agenda, which we are thankful that you're giving us a few minutes today of your time to listen to. Jason Bauza is the chairperson of that committee for crafting our legislative agenda and our program. And I don't think I'll hesitate at all with turning it over to Jason to kind of walk you through some of our top priorities this year. So Jason, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to start off by thanking the members of the General Assembly, both veteran lawmakers and new members, taking the time to join us. I also want to recognize Matt Hart and his great team for the work that they do representing these 38 towns around the year, but particularly as we're putting together legislative initiatives. So we have a couple of things that we want to share that are on our top of the to-do list. Can we turn to the next page? All right, thank you. So we're taking a little bit of a different tack with how we've submitted our legislative package than in years past. Typically, we submit something that reads more like a white paper than a legislative to-do list. And we have put our heads together with our team, that was actually on the previous slide, the members of the CROG Policy Board who served on our legislative committee. And we came up with some ideas that we think actually will advance the interests of planning in our region. Really what we're trying to do is we're looking to try and find ways as municipal leaders where we are better positioned to be able to share services across borders. There is a lot of parochialism or a notion that our issues stop at our borders. And what we're trying to do is find ways of breaking those down. And that really is kind of a recurrent theme throughout our legislative package this year. Let's move to the next slide. Oh, I'm sorry, one previous. There we go. So the first idea we want to talk a little bit about is the notion of removing statutory barriers that inhibit service sharing. I can tell you in my experience as a local official, we need to find different ways of providing the same services that our constituents expect. In particular, when we have staffing shortages, that we find ourselves oftentimes in competition with our neighbors, and that really should be working in concert instead of in competition. For some of the services that municipalities provide, there is simply a dearth of applicants. And so we find ourselves oftentimes in a bidding war. And that's not really productive for taxpayers, that's not really productive for municipalities, and we're looking for some assistance in doing that. Matt, is there anything you want to add to that bullet? I'm going to ask you that as we go along.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, Jason. And thank you all so much for joining today's legislative update. We really do appreciate your time and attention. So I think the state has made some good progress in this regard over the years. Really want to thank our state legislators for funding the Regional Performance Incentive Program, our RPIP program. And CROG did recently receive 3 grants to establish regional programs in assessment, animal control, and code enforcement / building inspection. And we'll utilize those programs to supplement the services that are in place in our member towns. We also have a statute on the books that permits interlocal agreements and ostensibly allows towns to perform services jointly. Anything they can do individually, they can, in theory, do jointly or in combination with a number of towns. The challenge we face here, though, the primary remaining statutory barrier that we see is under the Municipal Employees Relations Act, or MERA. And if you think of it, if you've got a couple of towns that want to share, let's say you've got 3 towns that hypothetically want to share a Department of Building Inspection, But the employees in those towns are represented by different bargaining units. Right now, there's no statutory path to negotiate that and to bring those units in under one new entity, under one new collective bargaining agreement. So we think if we really want to promote this on a large scale, we need to provide that statutory path. And we understand that that's a challenging issue. It's a difficult issue, and that labor would need to be at the table in order to help us craft that solution. But we do see that as an important long-term goal for the state. Similar to that, we think you could really incentivize this by offering a per capita grant for new regional entities, similar to the RPIP program, but also following the model of our regional health districts. I personally have been involved with two regional health districts. They function pretty well. Under that model, you've got a director and support staff who are centrally located, and then you assign your professional and technical staff to the member towns. And in many cases, they actually have offices located at those member towns. And that's a model we think we could replicate for any number of municipal services. I'll now turn it back to you, Jason.
And just to piggyback off that with one more comment, it really is the carrot approach to incentivizing regionalism. We've seen other successes with that, and things like the state grants that have been awarded to EMDs. So there's been a model where it has worked. There have been several models where it has worked, and we think that can be continued here. We want to allow COGS and municipalities to use state funds as a partial match for BIL and IIJA grant opportunities. By utilizing existing state grants as the local match, it will allow us to better capitalize on the opportunities that are coming out of the federal government. But it also will make things easier for the smaller municipalities who may struggle to come up with that 20% local match. If you're doing a $2 million water project in a community, it can be pretty difficult to secure $400,000 before you know that the funding is in place. And so if we're able to utilize our existing state grants as a match against some of the federal opportunities, well, Connecticut as a whole will be able to better capture some of the funding opportunities that are in front of us. Matt, did I get that one?
You did, Jason. The only thing I would add is that Commissioner Boughton, who is also serving as the state czar, if you will, under the bipartisan infrastructure law, he's taken the lead on this in working with the state agencies, and hopefully we'll have some set of options that he's able to bring to the legislature to the extent to which it needs a legislative fix. This may very well be more on the rulemaking side. So, we'll continue to keep you updated on the progress we're making. Jason, I did note that Speaker Ritter has been able to join us. I don't know if we want to pause here for a moment or two and give him an opportunity to address the group through our chair, Mayor Stewart.
Mr. Speaker.
Hi, Mayor. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How about you?
Good. Your office is very nice. Many flowers.
Oh, thanks. There's a lot of stuff happening back here. Thank you.
Well, you're busy.
Likewise. Thank you for your time today, please.
Thanks, Mayor. And thanks to Matt Hart and to everybody who's on here. And I'm sorry I was a few minutes late there. It's wild up here today. Today is package store day. So it gets very exciting at the Capitol. And I see Chris Smith, he's up here. He can attest to the fact there's a lot of people up here today. I just wanted to take an opportunity. And look, the majority leader, Jason Rojas, you all know, I consider him the expert on CROGS. Someone who's been on the ground floor of legislation, working with all of you and the things that you do. I'm looking at your agenda, whether it be on environment, P&D bills, service sharing, funding matches, Medicaid for ambulance reimbursement, pilot funding. It sounds like a lot of things that I care a lot about. One thing I can tell you in the city of Hartford is that we need to do more in terms of sharing services and figuring that out. We do not have the ability probably to do all the things individually, nor do towns forever. And the cost savings are real, whether it be assessments or permitting. There's just some things that I think you can do without going against the third rail of Connecticut politics. Everybody wants their own mayor. I get it. Everybody wants their own first selectman. You're never going to change that. But I don't think anybody really cares if the assessment is done regionally or where they get a building permit. And so I know you all know this, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you have today, working with you on legislation throughout 2023. And again, partnering with Jason and his vision and the work he's doing on housing and other things is really important. I would leave one thing of note on the issue of waste and recycling. I'm putting a summit together next month. This has become probably one of the more, this month now, it's February, one of the more critical issues, and we understand the tipping fees for the towns and what they're facing. So we're really going to try to land the plane on this, but we're going to need help of local elected officials. We're going to need people to think differently about trash. You can't just wish it away. You can't throw your radio in the blue bin. You have to really be intentional about this stuff. And I think that's one of the bigger regional approaches we're going to see this session is actually waste management. So anyway, I hope anyone can attend that if they want to or have any interest. And I appreciate all that you do. And Matt or Mayor Stewart, I'll turn it back over to you. Thanks for having me tonight.
Thank you so much for your time and for your ears briefly. We know how busy you are. I'll turn it back to Jason to continue the agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Speaker, for taking the time to join us. I think we were on regional approaches to stormwater management. I was watching a documentary on Mark Twain last night, and they were talking about his home in the great city of Hartford. And at that point in time, much of Hartford was not paved. Now, fast forward 140 years, and we find ourselves in a place where a lot of our municipalities are covered by more impervious surface than they typically have been. And a lot of the ways we're trying to manage stormwater is utilizing infrastructure that was really built for a different day. It's aging, and it wasn't built to satisfy the needs that we're struggling with now in light of the development that's happened over time. So the legislative committee is looking to encourage ways of managing stormwater in a more regional basis. We've talked about, actually, I'll let Matt talk about some of the specifics around the Regional Stormwater Authority, because I'm not sure how far into this we need to go. But Matt, can you take it from here?
Happy to, Jason, thank you. So I think probably all of us on the call, you know, we've been following recent developments in North Hartford and other communities where we're facing, you know, due to changing climate and weather patterns, we've got more intense flooding than we've had in the past. And as Jason said, our infrastructure wasn't initially built to handle that. And now we've got to deal with that issue. And it will be a very costly one. We also are smaller, more rural communities are struggling to comply with MS4 to the extent to which they're subject to that. So we're really looking at this on a regional basis because, you know, watersheds certainly don't respect municipal boundaries. And we have applied for two grants through Connecticut DEEP. Thank you very much for funding that program so that we can study this issue on a regional basis and then, you know, produce a set of potential solutions and options. I do know that a few years ago, you gave municipalities the ability to establish their own stormwater utility, which can provide an important source of funding for stormwater management. We just have a handful of them in the state. I want to commend the city of New Britain and Mayor Stewart for establishing one. And we think someday down the road, you know, we want to do our analysis first and then come back to you. Maybe there's an opportunity for a regional stormwater utility as well. You know, we know they can be a little controversial with folks concerned about an additional fee they need to pay, but this is such a significant infrastructure challenge for us. And we really think we were going to have to pool our resources as a region, as a state, in order to address it most effectively. Flooding in West Hartford ultimately impacts the Connecticut River and then ultimately impacts Long Island Sound. I think we all know and understand that, and it's going to take a sustained effort to address it successfully. Back to you, Jason.
Thank you. The next concept kind of piggybacks on one of the things that Speaker Ritter said about how every municipality wants their own mayor or their own first selectman, and I absolutely agree with that. But the in terms of where you get your building permit from or your assessments done, we think that there is an opportunity to encourage planning and zoning commissions and inland wetlands regulations to be done on a regional basis. That's probably not a surprise coming from an organization that values regionalism, but attempting those things on a regional basis does a couple of things. It allows for the sharing of staff. It allows for a more regional approach to those planning efforts that are underway. As an example, in my own community, the train station in Windsor Locks is across the river, but will have a multiplier effect in my town just because of its proximity. So that's a regional project that's going to have a local benefit. The other thing that we're talking about in terms of utilizing regional commissions is ethics commissions and fair rent commissions. And I just want to put in a plug for the ethics idea in particular. If you have ethics commissioners from another municipality who are opining on the application of a local ethics ordinance, that really provides some objectivity and takes away the likelihood that you're going to run into one of the ethics commissioners or one of the people who have a complaint filed against them at the grocery store or at the Little League game. It provides a dispassionate approach to administering that probably is good government. Matt, did I leave anything out there?
The only thing I would add, Jason, is our Municipal Services Committee recently took a look at our ability to establish regional commissions, regional fair rent commissions. And under the relatively recent adopted state law that requires municipalities of 25,000 or more to establish and maintain a fair rent commission, our attorney did not think we had the ability to create a intermunicipal or a regional entity. And as Jason said, you know, we think this is relatively low-hanging fruit here. And many of our smaller communities do struggle to recruit and retain. Actually, our larger communities do too. People to fill these very important and in most cases, volunteer positions. Back to you, Jason.
Thank you. Actually, is John Elsesser on the call? I'd like him to take point on this one because he's been a champion on this issue. Is John around? I actually don't see him.
Yeah, I don't see him here. Jason, I'm happy to take the lead on it if you want.
The one time we need John to talk.
I know.
He loves this issue. Matt?
Yep. So just briefly, you know, you could see the bullet point here. EMS services, that's one of the most critical and important services that our local governments provide to our residents. And in terms of the funding source, there are many challenges we're facing in this area. You know, as Cost recently talked about, is being able to recruit and retain qualified staff to perform this function. We also need revenue to support it. And in particular, the Medicaid population, which is, you know, they utilize this service. They utilize this service in some cases more frequently, as you can imagine, than other components of our population. And we're really looking to increase the revenue that we receive so that we can support and sustain the program moving forward. So undoubtedly, we need a broader, more long-term look at this. But in the short term, we are requesting that the state index the state Medicaid ambulance reimbursement rate at the federal level. Right now, it's approximately 50%. If you could index it at the federal level and pay the full rate for group home transport, that will boost our local revenues to provide this very important service while we work on a long-term strategy. Back to you, Jason.
Thank you. I think we're on to the next slide. So those are the proposals that CROG is really pushing on our own, but there are a number of proposals by sister organizations that we stand behind this year. And we're not gonna spend too much time diving into what are the top level priorities for some other organizations, but we did flag some that we just wanna make sure the legislators on the call know that CROG wants to be a partner with in terms of developing solutions. If there are ways that we can help advance good public policy on these issues, we would welcome the opportunity to be a part of that. The first, you know, obviously the fully funding a pilot is a big deal at the municipal level. And given the circumstances that we hope the state continues to enjoy in terms of fiscal health, this would be a great opportunity to make sure that municipalities are realizing all of the funding that ought to be due them through the payment in lieu of taxes program. The speaker noted that the waste management issues are going to be front of mind for the General Assembly this year. And we certainly are feeling that those pinches in our local budgets, to the extent that we can offer support or suggestions in terms of coming to a solution, we're a resource that's available. We are very grateful for the legislature's approach to handling the crumbling foundation issue so far. The captive insurance program has been successful, and we just hope that it will continue to receive the funding that it needs to address that problem. Matt, before we go to the next slide, anything on those three you want to add to?
I would just highlight in the waste management area, and I know the speaker spoke about his upcoming meeting, and I'll follow up with him to request a seat at the table. CROG, we do have a waste management initiative underway. We did retain a couple of consultants who could identify solutions for our region, and they'll be presenting a report to us in the near future. And we have a solid waste authority on the books here at CROG. And we think one of the primary recommendations will be to strengthen and reestablish that solid waste authority now that MIRA is no longer on the scene, so that we can competitively bid contracts for our member towns and really focus on things like removing organics from the waste stream, doing more with recycling. And then at some point, we're going to have to tackle, and the state takes the lead on this, but working with the state, we're going to have to tackle the issue of siting. Because even if we do all of those things, you know, we're still in a position where we need to truck our waste, a fair percentage of our waste, out of state. And that's just not a sustainable solution long term. Back to you, Jason.
All right. So the next couple of issues that are advanced by us and by others stem from the workforce issues that we're experiencing. There are certain specialties that are just in so short supply in municipal government that we need to find creative ways of bolstering up the applicant pool. So one of the things that we're encouraging and that DAS has put a working group together on and CROG is participating in is the establishment of an apprenticeship program for building officials. We're looking to encourage the allowance of reciprocity for certain licensure between states so that hopefully we could encourage additional applicants. But really that stems back from simply there just are not enough people going into some of these specialized fields that are services we need to provide for. And so we're taking a multi-pronged approach. We're encouraging regionalism amongst municipalities. We're encouraging the different pathways to training, and we're encouraging the reciprocity. Part of this problem is exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic because some of the licensure training courses simply weren't offered. In some cases, the licensure is just too long of a process for there to be a good pool to draw from. In part, it's the silver tsunami effect where people who have been in those positions for a long time are simply cycling out of the workforce. But nonetheless, it still leaves municipalities in a position where we have to find creative ways to be able to provide services that our constituents expect. Matt?
Thank you, Jason. As Jason said, we participated in this DAS-led effort. They have recently issued a report, a status report to the Planning and Development Committee. On the building code, you know, we think we probably would need an amendment to the code, which would require legislative action to create a trainee or an apprenticeship class under the code. So You know, it's something I would encourage our legislators to keep an eye out for. And I talked about the three RPIP grants we're going to be receiving to establish regional programs in building inspection, assessment, and animal control. And we are going to look over time to add a training component or even an apprenticeship component to the extent we're able to for each of those programs. Back to you, Jason.
So it's been in the public discourse for a number of years, the need that is here and present for affordable housing and workforce housing. And we just would lend our voice to the need for incentives to see housing opportunities created locally, really in part as a means of retaining employees, retaining residents in the state. It's difficult to see people come to a place for work when they can't find a place to live near that place where they're working. We recognize that housing has to be is an issue that needs to be addressed, and if we can support or add our voice to the conversation, we would welcome the opportunity to do that. Matt?
And the only thing I would add there, Jason, is that CROG has worked in the affordable housing space over the years. We can be helpful in terms of producing a model set of regulations and in conducting demonstration projects. We've got one underway right now around transit-oriented development, looking at eight of our communities. And we'll continue to do that work and to serve as subject matter experts for our 38 towns. Back to you, Jason.
One of the things I understand is under discussion in the General Assembly is the notion around some sort of a statewide blight remedy. And we think we have an idea that may be a way of encouraging people to come into compliance, and that's through the establishment of a low interest loan or a revolving loan fund. Actually, I think if Steve Stefano is on the line, I think he has had some success with something similar to this at the local level. Steve, can you add a little bit of color here? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Sure, yeah, no problem, Jason. So in Manchester, we've done a downtown investment program where we took some surplus sanitation money and created a low interest that can be converted into forgivable loan program for businesses that do updates to basically code fire compliance in our historic downtown that has buildings that date back about 100 years. So that was a way to incentivize the private sector to step in and do what might not be financially feasible just on their own. And we've already had three successful applicants, the most notable of which is a Firestone Cafe, which came in and took over an old furniture store and did a lot of renovations and upgrades, made it code compliant, ADA compliant. And have converted that property internally, the external facade is still the same, into a really vibrant coffee shop. So happy, very discussed with Jason, the ability to sort of take this model and maybe scale it up would be happy to look into.
Thanks, Steve. So Manchester has had some success with a similar idea within their own municipality. And what we're encouraging is the consideration that there be some funding allotted for a regional approach to this. Matt, you want to add anything to that?
I think you and Steve covered it well. You know, as you all can imagine, municipalities, now when we're engaged in code enforcement work, we will routinely come across things that need to be remediated, and that comes at a cost, and some property owners and businesses really struggle with those expenses. So I think the Manchester example is very intriguing, a good success story and something we'd look to replicate. Back to you, Jason.
So we view, we are encouraging people to continue to support the Complete Streets Planning Initiatives. We view this as a means of providing for both pedestrian and traffic safety, economic development, and livability. Matt, what do you got for this?
So I think we can link the Complete Streets Planning with the Vision Zero Council when we get to that bullet, Jason. I don't know if you want me to just do that now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So Krog, we're also supporting the recommendations of the state's Vision Zero Council. Our staff do participate on the council's subcommittees. We did testify in support of House Bill 5917 at the Transportation Committee's public hearing earlier this week. And we have a couple of suggestions as to how the bill could be improved, particularly regarding the requirement that municipalities prepare a complete streets plan or a safety plan. And our suggestion along those lines would be to allow towns at local option to come under the council government's the regional plan. Krog was one of three COGs around the state. You may have seen the news yesterday. We received funding under Safe Streets for All program to update our regional transportation safety plan, which can be utilized for this purpose. So we think giving municipalities the option to come under the regional plan certainly would benefit many of our communities, especially our smaller ones that don't have dedicated staff or the funding for these types of initiatives. Back to you, Jason.
So, well contamination is an issue that is very present in many of the municipalities that encompass Krog. You know, old farm towns in particular have been dealing with EDBs and PCP, DDT and all types of contaminants from pesticide application on farms, but a clear issue that we're all gonna experience and have to have some help in remediating is the presence of PFAS. It's a carcinogen that's linked to all kinds of bad public health concerns, and the state has been generous in terms of funding testing for it. We're encouraging the legislature to build on what they've already done in terms of testing and remediation funding. Because this is one of those issues, like Matt said earlier, that really doesn't know a regional, a municipal border. It follows water course, and it's affecting everybody from a public health consideration. So we appreciate what the legislature has done so far. We encourage you to continue doing that so that we can make sure that we're addressing, so that our residents have access to clean drinking water. How'd I do on that one?
I think you covered it. You know, it's certainly a significant issue across much of our region, and it's going to continue to be one for some time.
Matt, can you take point on the DOT, yes. Issue, please?
Yes. So this was discussed at the Transportation Committee's public hearing as well earlier this week. And under that same bill, House Bill 5917, the DOT is looking to clarify its authority to acquire land to use eminent domain or condemnation for multi-use trails. You know, we understand that that's a tricky issue. If indeed we're going to grant more authority with respect to the use of eminent domain or condemnation, there need to be careful parameters set around that. But we do think it's appropriate in this instance. Our multi-use trails are utilized for many purposes, not just recreational. I would not, however, diminish the importance of the recreational use. But here at Krog, we're very involved in helping to build out our regional trail system. We got a couple of projects underway right now. We did this past year receive a $16.4 million federal RAISE grant to close a gap in the trail in the town of Plainville, and interestingly, connect that trail with the CT Fast Track station in downtown New Britain. And you know, I think you can see the linkage there, and the various uses of the trail, you know, and how it can be utilized for everyday commuting, and also generate some significant economic development. So again, we recognize that this is a sensitive issue, but we do think it's an important one and one that the state could control with appropriate boundaries. Back to you, Jason.
It's also worth noting on that before we move on to the next topic that the DOT needs to, well, I would encourage DOT to recognize that not everything that has historically been a rail line should still be a rail line. There are some rail lines that have simply been abandoned or underutilized for many, many, many years, and they may have a beneficial reuse away from what their historical use had been. So that's just something worth noting too. And that's a parochial issue that I've dealt with DOT, that they have held on to the notion that a rail line that has not been used in my lifetime is likely to return to rail use. And that simply is not the case. So just taking a holistic look at the trails that, or the rail lines that they have and what the multi-use components of that could be. And speaking of rail, one of the things that CROG is particularly proud of is the Hartford Rail Line expansion. This is the $1 billion investment that has a 10-to-1 return on investment. We would encourage the state to continue working towards completion of that project. Five of our member towns are affected by the plans that are in place, and they're outlined on the screen. So I'll point out that the Windsor Locks and Enfield stations are under design, are underway, and that West Hartford, Newington, and Windsor stations are in the design phase. Those all need to be built out. And we talked about Vision Zero.
Yeah, we did. I think that's it, Jason. You know, we now want to get into Q&A. You know, and to hear from our legislators and policy board members as well. Mayor, happy to help you facilitate that if folks want to use their raise the hand function or you know, raise your hand on the screen as well.
For sure. Raise them up if there's any questions for us.
I think I see something in the chat, Mayor, from Senator Gordon. Oh, looks like he had to hop off. Okay.
Questions, comments, hearing none. You know me. I like to close up a good meeting quickly.
Oh, not just yet, Mayor. Let's see.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's turn it back over to you, Matt.
No, thank you, Mayor. Just so any not seeing any questions or comments? All right, I hope this was helpful for you all. I want to thank everybody for your time and attention. This is the first time we've ever done this, you know, and we'll experiment with it in the future. Really want to thank First Selectman Bauza, Jason, for making the presentation today here, and Mayor Stewart for serving as our chair and hosting today's meeting. We've got the largest delegation. You know, we're the largest cog in the state. We've got 58 elected representatives. We want to thank you for your support over the years, and don't hesitate to call on us. Don't hesitate to call on us if you're looking for perspective on a piece of legislation or some advice on how to shape a piece of legislation. We're always here available to you. If you're trying to connect with a group of towns, we can help convene a meeting, any number of things we can do to be helpful to you. Back to you now, Mayor.
Now, again, we just appreciate everybody's time today. Any other comments or questions from anyone? We really appreciate it, and please keep in touch with us.
Thank you all.
Thank you.